KCATL monitoring, statewide one.
KEAYTQ monitoring.
KCATL monitoring, statewide one. Detroit Tower. Tell this goes.
KEAX monitoring, Dark Group 51, statewide one.
KCATL monitoring, statewide one. Let's see who's out here tonight.
Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray, mobile in Chesterfield, monitoring 51 Puck statewide one.
K8LAX, KCATJO, out of Memphis. I know where you're at, Fairhaven there. Or is that New Haven?
The home QTH is New Haven, but currently I am driving down 23 Mile headed towards New Baltimore, passing Sass Road at the moment.
I'm at I-94 on Russell Street, heading towards Hall Road in Garfield.
Very nice. This is actually, you're actually the first contact I've gotten on this DMR network. I discovered it, figured out how to get it put into the code plug, and I'm very interested in its wide coverage and the ability to use the microwaves to link the systems. I think this is a very interesting system. It's been very quiet the last 3-4 days. I don't know if that's normal.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little quiet, but there are people out there, and there's several people out there. You know, I just got back into it within the past year or so. Had a DMR for the longest time, but then I hooked up with some operators off the FBI network, and they got me set up with a good cold plug and programming it all with OpenGD77.
Nice. I got in, I went and picked myself up probably about a year and a half ago, a MMDVM little hotspot duplex, and I was playing around with the Grandmeister network and stuff like that. I got it to work, I used it a little bit, still a little bit beyond my understanding, but I never could work with the repeaters, and then I found this one and got it to work, so kind of excited about that. Back over to you, Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray.
That's the whole purpose of the hobby, is to figure things out. I got DMR, of course, and UHF analog. Another operator gave me a Yaesu with system fusion on it, so I've been messing around with that. And, of course, this one here, with DMR. I got a Shark Open Spot 1 at home. That's hardwired to my network. So I got that, and I got my TYTMDU V380 that connects to the Open Spot, and I can go through all the different DMR talk groups if I wanted to, go on the hose line, see who's active, and give a chit-chat here. So I made... through Talk Group 91, I think I've made 26 contacts on DMR through the world.
Fair enough. I've primarily listened to 91 when I got on it. This radio that I'm using now, it's supposedly a Baofeng, but I had bought it. It was a really good price on Amazon. And then when I tried finding CPS, software for it. It was basically everybody said, well, we didn't make that radio. So I was able to find a bunch of people complaining about it, and one person was able to find some DM1702 software that would work with it. So I basically made it barely work. You can't even really put CSV files in it. It's very limited with that CPS software, but at least it's not a useless radio.
Yeah, I have TYT MDU V380. I said I bought that brand new in the box from another ham out in White Lake who just could figure it out and got too frustrated with it, so he just threw it in the box and sold it to me. And then I just picked up this MD9600, which belonged to a silent key now. And... has the same cold plug as my handheld, Makes it so much easier.
Enough. What machine are you making it in with right now?
I'm on the Detroit Tower because I'm on I-94 East at Van Dyke. So I'm still hitting the Detroit one, and when I get closer, I'll hit the Mount Clemens Tower.
Yep, that's another thing I'm going to try to work out on this radio, if I don't actually pick up a different radio, but the roaming feature, I know it's a feature in it, but there's no roaming to populate, so if I can figure it out, cool, if not.
Yeah, this one doesn't have the roaming feature, so I just do a scan on it, but pretty familiar with where the towers are at and receivers, so because I go all over the state, so I just flip to the nearest one and I key it up, and if I hit it, then that's a good thing. You know, because I live in northeast Macomb County, and I said right up there by just north of Richmond there in Memphis, and I'm like, the northeast is you can go in the county right there, and when I'm in my van, I can hit the Mount Clemens Tower. So it's got pretty good coverage. But if you go to the website, whiskey8charliemikenovember.net, that's WACMN.net, and go to the DMR, they'll give you all the frequencies and the color code and the time slots for all the links for gators.
Yep, that was exactly how I figured this one out. And got it on because I was looking through the EHF side of the network, and I seen DMR, so I clicked on it, and yeah, that's how I actually.
Yeah, it's the whole thing about ham radio. It's a hobby, and you learn as you go. I'm still learning. I've been one since 1998. You know, I just learned a little bit more about DMR and how to do the code plugs, and I was banging through that. Then I got this mobile DMR and had the same firmware, OpenGD77. I called, this is easy, and I buzzed all through that. I have a Motorola XPR4550 that's got a bad receive diode in it. So me and the guy and the other ham, WABD, found a new board, so we're going to put that in my radio and get it all set up, and he's going to program it for me because he does Motorola like a madman. You know, you got to have an account with him to do certain things. So he's setting it all up for me, putting my new code plug in it, and I'll be rocking on that one too.
From what I understand, Motorola is kind of an animal of its own, and they're more on the commercial side of things rather than the amateur side, but yeah, I've met a couple people that primarily do stuff like that for like EMS and companies like that, and a couple corporate companies, and yeah, from what I understand, Motorola is definitely a animal of its own.
They're an animal of their own, but if you acquire one and the right one, they are fantastic. The quality is beyond ridiculous. And I said, if money wasn't an option, I'd have all Motorola. I have a VHF mobile that's already set up as a ham on it, so that one got reflashed. And then I said, I got my UHF DMR one that's being reflashed once the new board comes in. And I'll put that one back in the van, and then put the TYT in my vehicle.
I think ideally, if I could find myself a decent DMR mobile that did dual band analog and DMR, I know it would take quite a bit of going through.
Well, my analog mobile is an Elinco DR735T. It has digital capabilities. But to find the digital chip is almost like trying to find a needle in a haystack. They're out there, but they're like a buck and a half, $2 for those things. And once I get one and find it for a decent price and put it in, then I can probably try to program EMR into it. But I do all front panel programming on that, but that's the easiest, Pi. But for the TYTs, I use software and a cable.
Yeah, this whole thing and the other radio I have is Retiva P22 that does not have a keypad. That's supposed to be all front panel programmable too, but it gets a little bit complicated on my end. I start getting confused where the software is a little bit easier for me to understand. Kilo, Echo 8, Lima, X-ray.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this one, because it's OpenGD77, you know, programming BMR is a lot different than doing analog. Like, the analog, I can front panel program no problem, you know, because it's just a PL tone and a, you know, an inbound, outbound tone kind of thing, and then the frequency and your offset. Or DMR, you got your transmit frequency, your receive frequency, and then you got to find power for each one. And then you got your color code, either 1 through 5, and then your time slot. And most DMR is time slot 1. Now, if you want to really get integrated into it, then you start moving into P25, and that's my next venture.
What I understand with 5 is, and I could be wrong, correct me if I am wrong, but it seems like Motorola holds the primary to that technology. And it's quite expensive to get into, but it definitely seems interesting the way that technology works and how it utilizes bandwidth.
Yeah, the Motorola's are, like I said, there's some out there that you can find, but you got to get the right pricing on them, because some of them that they sell for, oh, look, I can get a P25 for $80 or $100. Well, you can't activate it on the, you know, frequencies for that band that one has, and kind of be accepted in the system. And it's I'm learning more about it each pass when I meet up with the other hands that are on P25. You know, but that's a special network right there. But there are frequencies. You just gotta know what they are and how to get into them.
Is there other manufacturers that work on the P25 platform?
Hold on a second, I got a phone call. I'll be right back. KCKJO. KELAX, KCKJO. I am back.
KCA, I think it was something JL. Sorry, I didn't get a good look at the screen. Before you left, you were getting a little bit of bit error there and breaking up a little bit. But yeah, on the conversation of P25, I do find that interesting.
Yeah, I probably got a little bit staticky because I'm buying the Detroit, or I'm still bouncing off the Detroit repeater. I'll probably switch over to Mount Clemens in a minute or two. I'm still on 94. Yeah, P25 is very interesting. It's interesting to me. I love programming radios, so. You know, I love computers too, so just going through and figuring it out and trial and error. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the hobby.
I 100% agree with you. It does get a little frustrating when you can't get it figured out, or you had it working and then it stops working. But for sure. Now, as far as this network goes, do they use it for anything? On the official end, I noticed that event 1 through 4 are restricted for special use.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the ARPS, ARPSC, will use the events if we're doing BMR, and also the National Weather Service during Skywarn events statewide one, so they can talk to the National Weather Service. So I hear that all the time. So when they say that the frequency is in use, they'll go on it because it's currently in use by the National Weather Service.
But when they go Skywarn active, that is, this is how the NET controllers communicate with National Weather.
It is one of the avenues, yes, and they also use 147.200, which is Mount Clemens VHF, and they talk to a NET, you know, so being a storm spotter, I'm from Macomb County, I talk to NET control, our Macomb NET control on 147.2 VHF, and then they have a second radio that they report back to the National Weather Service from Macomb. They talk to White Lake and say, this is what we have, this is what our spotters see, blah, 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 things like that. And when Skywarn activation is in progress, then yes, they use statewide one. Sometimes they'll use event three.
Okay, that's definitely good to know. I know that I read it, but I didn't necessarily understand what they used it for. I did some weather spotting stuff for St. Clair County when I lived out there, but being that my primary place of work was in Chesterfield, it was really hard for a HT or even my mobile unit to hit anything for St. Clair County. So my weather spotting duties, I was unable to participate for most of them unless I was home when we got activated. I might try for Macomb County, but I ended up getting a postcard, and they wanted me to join their, ARSPC, wanted me to come to their meeting tonight and possibly join up for volunteering, so I might possibly look into that. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
100%, that's where I'm heading right now. I am an IRPSC member. And that stands for Amateur Radio Public Service Corps. And having a Skywarn certification works for you because that's part of the task book. In addition to that, Macomb County ARPSC joined forces with Oakland County ARPSC for the Woodward Dream Cruise, and they were eyes and ears. There's probably about 10 members out there being eyes and ears, and they were on Oakland County's BMR. So, yeah, if you're interested, the meeting is at 7 o'clock tonight at the Macomb Intermediate School District building right on Garfield.
Fair enough. I won't be able to make it. I think I was on the Carl Clemens machine, and I talked to Tim earlier today, trying to figure out, because I thought tonight was the net, but I was mistaken.
That's perfectly fine. You can log into 147.200/PL100 with a -0.6 offset. Next Thursday at 7 o'clock is the radio net, and you can see what it is. Tonight is the monthly in-person meeting, and yeah, I remember he sent out all those cards. That's pretty cool. But yeah, it is. It's been reactivated, and you know, I think we're up to like 22 members now. But it's something that is really interesting. It's a lot of community work, and they do nets and. I do special sets, special event training where, you know, like a, you know, power outage in all of Macomb County and their radios are down, and we go and test all our amateur radios and see where all the hot spots are, where the good spots, bad spots are, things like that. So, yeah, it's community support, but for public safety kind of thing.
I'm definitely interested, and one of those postcards he sent out did actually get to me, and that's part of the reason why I know about it, and part of the reason why I've been looking into it. So, if the efforts were for recruitment, they're most likely working. I don't know how many of the younger crowd are getting involved, but getting some young blood in the hobby.
Absolutely. The more the merrier. And I said, all it does is help out your community. I mean, you're already a Sky One spotter. I mean, like myself. And it's a definite plus. There's involvement where we're going to be starting up called Hospital Nets, where we're going to test all the radios in the hospitals. There's an amateur radio station in each hospital. And we're going to be testing those out and seeing the operational limitations on those. So this is all for, it's to help out public safety. So if there was a tornado that ripped through Macomb County and took out half of the P25 system that the county uses, the backup is amateur radio and amateur radio operators. And you could be one of the lucky ones that either be stationed at a hospital or stationed at another center somewhere under deployment and operate the radio for the medical staff and stuff. But yeah, definitely either come on one of their meetings every Thursday at 7 p.m. or show up in-house when you get a chance for the next meeting. Check it out. I've been doing it now for about 6 months, and I love it.
Fair enough. I will definitely, I'll definitely be on next Thursday's net, and I will attempt to make the next in-person meeting. And actually, this network for the PMR side, I'm really impressed. I've literally driven into St. Clair County, gone just past New Baltimore, back up 26 miles, now I'm up at 2694, and I haven't skipped a beat. I'm pretty impressed. Kilo Echo 8, Lima, Alexa.
Well, you can thank the several members of the Central Michigan Emergency Network for all that. They set up all the repeaters, all the microwave links, and the interconnectivity. You can talk all the way up to Petoskey. There's towers, I think there's like 15 receive sites, something like that. And I said, check out that website and you'll see it all. And you can get all the information you need in regards to VHF, UHF, P25, DMR, MI2, I mean, all the way, you know, from everything for Central Michigan. It's pretty awesome.
Fair enough. I'll definitely look. I know they were doing work up in Mackinac, and I think they just finished up something in Mackinac, so that was pretty cool. And I think they've seen a marker up somewhere by the Sioux Locks. I'm not sure about that one. I didn't actually read into the machine list to see if there was a frequency for that one. But I'm just about home, and I'm going to get dinner together for the wife, and I wish you the best at your meeting. And it was great talking to you. I appreciate all the information. You definitely are, you have a wealth of it. And I definitely appreciate it. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-Ray, and I will be clear on your final.
Anytime. I'm always on DMR, and I'm also on GMRS when I'm in the Detroit area. And, of course, I'm always on the FBI network. 442-225 is Richmond. I have to look up Mount Clemens. But, yeah, check it all out. I mean, it's a great team of volunteers and a great team of operators that keep us talking to each other. So the name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, and the call sign is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Easy way to remember is KC8KJO.
KC8KJO. Appreciate it, and you have a good rest of your day. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-Ray clear.
K8LAX 73, KCKGO.
PIC.
KCKGO. KCKGO.
This is KE8WUO.
Casey at KGO. KGO on DMR. Casey at KGO. Monitoring, statewide one. Unless you're out there, John.
This is KEA, WUO. How are you receiving?
I got you, John.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to have to start using this because the expensive radio has just been kind of sitting there. Only heard one other transmission, and it's during our net, and so that'll be cool. It's good to know where to look and how to use this thing, so I appreciate your time today.
Oh, not a problem at all. I mean, that's what ham guys do, or the ham gang does, or ham hobbyists, I guess you can say. And Tim, N-A-W-R-O, he's monitoring DMR as well. He's just on an HT, though, so.
No, I'm just on an HT also. I'm wondering if he's just on, like, a scanner, or can't talk, or what do you mean by that?
He is in Richmond, which is, I'm in Memphis, so he's, you know, a few miles south of me. But he's got to walk on his backyard to hit the Mount Clemens Tower, where when I get home, I can take my HT and link it to my open spot, and I can get on statewide from that way.
Gotcha. Very cool. I will have to look into the open spot, and I'm not sure if the ClearNode is capable of doing that also, but I've heard good things about both of those, and I'll have to look into that because that would be really cool. It sounds like this net is this system is pretty robust, but I guess, yeah, if you're getting up into the thumb a little bit, it probably doesn't have perfect coverage for everywhere, but you sounded like you were able to go pretty far north on the expressway and had good success, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you look up on eBay, I think is where we got mine from, but if you find a decent, you got to check with Wally in regards to the part number and the range on it. But my actual Motorola is an XPR4550, and Wally knows how to adjust it and sweep it and realign it for DMR, GMRS, and UHF, because some of them show a certain range, but it's got to be a lower range. But you can use the same code plug that you got there, and it sets it all up right in there. You just dump the archive into it, and then you're rocking and rolling.
Gotcha. Would that be a mobile? Is that what you're suggesting? Or is that... I'm thinking it's a mobile unit and not the node that you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, the XPR4550 is a Motorola. And that's the lower end one. Wally's got a 5550 or something like that. I forgot what number it is, but he has a really nice Motorola mobile.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah, now I'll have to take a peek and talk to Wally a little bit about it, pick his brain. I really need to, like, just sit down with someone and learn the DMR because I picked up the P25 pretty quick. I had a decent little mentor to kind of walk me through that, and I kind of hit the ground running, but I'm a little lost in the DMR side so far. But I think if someone gave me a little quick crash course, especially in my code plug, and a little lesson on how it all ties together, I think I would be pretty self-sufficient after that, hopefully. This is KE8WUO.
I can get through the OpenGD 77 pretty fluently now. And just download the radios. I mean, OpenGD is like really easy to operate and go through it. And then, but the Motorola CPS, I'm still getting used to that. I sit there and read on it. It's almost, OpenGD 77 is almost like the Motorola CPS. So I'm getting it, but there's different features on there that I'm not too familiar with. So when I get my Motorola back, I'm going to get a programming cable and then upload it. Because I know I need like one little, I got one little feature that I have to pay for, and it's like $5. I think I can't do wideband, with the software I have. I have to get it to, so I'm able to do wideband. But still, it's pretty easy to navigate. If you can navigate through the Motorola CPS, the OpenGD 77, and the DMR in there is pretty cut and dry.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's funny because I've watched a few YouTube videos on how to program DMR radio and CPS, and all the videos are kind of walking you through CPS, and it's like, well, I kind of understand CPS to some degree. It seems, especially the Moto Turbo version, seems like kind of a simpler CPS than the ATX version that I'm used to. And so it's like, okay, I get it. But like one of the things I didn't understand is like you have to have contacts. So you have to put like Michigan statewide as a contact, which doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but if that's the way it is, then to me that's not a contact. That's like, I don't know, that's like an entity or a repeater. I don't really understand why things are the way they are. To me, contacts is like, John, KE8WUO, and, my DMR ID, and then when my radio identifies as its DMR ID, your radio will show you my name and my call sign. To me, that's contacts, and so I'm a little kind of just befuddled by how everything is laid out and what it means and why we do it that way. I guess I don't need to know why, as long as I know that's how we do it, but I don't know. It's just a little different than I'm used to, I guess.
Well, you have contacts. Wally, I mean, like yours comes up with your DMR ID. That's the contact ID. But then you go to 31261. That's like Brandmeister MI5 talk group. Where 51 is the MI5 talk group. And then, but you can dial up an individual contact, or you can do a private contact, like Wally and stuff, and that's like through OpenSpot. I do that through OpenSpot. But for here, the IP link, your contact is talk group 50, it's 51. Talk group 51. And then you got the zone. The zone is where you set up is, what do you want in that zone? You want all the different contacts in that zone. 25-mile road closed. Oh, Lord. Hey, KJ. Did the wrong turn. Oh, maybe this will take me to 26. We'll see. But then you have your channels, I believe. The channels are your different frequencies. So Mount Clemens is a channel, and it's a digital channel, and that's 443950 and 448950, color code 1, time slot 1. You program that in there, and then you do talk group 51. So yeah, there's different aspects of it. I'd have to take a picture of my OpenGD 77, how it's all listed.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's just a little, like, I guess my biggest hang up, you know, off the bat was just that I thought it was strange to have, like, the statewide as a contact, because it just doesn't feel like that would be a contact, but I'll try not to get hung up on that and beat the dead horse, but yeah, I don't know. It's just a little different, but so far I like it, especially like the IP Connect, and like what you were saying about how that works. That's pretty nifty. It reminds me of the you know, like you said, the FBI network, especially on the P25 side, where it just kind of finds the best receive and station and or transmit station, and just kind of does the auto sorting of where you should be picked up from, and so I don't know. That's really cool. I'm pretty fond of that.
Well, P25 is another whole animal, and there that it's trunking is what it is. So you have your control frequency and then a secondary control frequency, and that's what you transmit on. And then the system says, okay, this other frequency channel is open for you to talk on. So you're not always on, you have a control frequency, but your receive and your talk frequency is going to be something different. And if you ever look on it, if you, you know, knew what the control frequency and everything was, then it just, it's trunk. You get like 14 frequencies that you can bounce off of. So whatever one is free is the one that you use. That's how P25 works. It's a digital trunking system.
Yeah, so I actually have two P25 radios that I've programmed, and those are the ones I'm pretty good with those. And the trunking is really more for the state. All the ham radio stuff is not necessarily trunked, but so there's no control channels for that. But I love it. You know, I love my P25 stuff. If you spend a ton of money on this radio, it pales in comparison to the other one. But yeah, I'm a big fan of P25. I wish I understood DMR as much as I did for P25. But yeah, I don't know. There's definitely fewer people, I think, on P25 than there will be on DMR. So getting this working and understanding it is probably going to be more rewarding. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. Definitely a cool radio.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I'm not sure where P25 stretches. You have to check out the CMN dashboard to see what's all there. I mean, I got it for MI1, MI2, and MI5 now, but I don't have P25, but eventually, you know, I'll get one of those tapes and see if I can find one that's halfway decent and operational, and then set it up, you know, do a little bit of learning on it from a good teacher, and then go from there.
Nice. I know you were talking about your P25 scanner. Is that, you got like control channels programmed in that, or is that just scanning all the P25? From the sounds of what you were saying, is that it does have the control channels in it. So I'm wondering, was it you that programmed that, or was that Wally?
Nope, I did it all. I got the software for it. It's called AMR500. And then I have a subscription to Radio Reference. And what I do is when I download the P25 statewide trunking system, there's two different, what do you want to call it now? There's two different fields. You have, on the left side, you have the site, and it tells you you can have up to 31 sites. So Macomb County has, you know, like four or five sites or frequencies there. And then on the right-hand side is all the control frequencies for the different, or the trunking frequencies for the different agencies. So if it's downloaded off a Radio Reference, I can do MDOT, I can do state police, I can do county, I can do buses, schools, whatever's in that P25 trunk system, I just program into it. Even like MDOT, I program MDOT into it during the wintertime, and I can hear where the plows are at, how deep is the snow that they're plowing, and where they are plowing.
Nice, yeah. I've been looking at the trunking on radio reference as well, and been kind of studying that, and it's pretty cool. It's neat how they get it all to work. That would be cool to hear all the stuff that that scanner can do. How many frequencies can that scanner hold, just out of curiosity? I guess they're not quite frequencies, but how many sites, I guess? You might have mentioned it, but I might have missed it.
I think it's 31 sites. I know I've done it before, and it says you've reached your limit, or, you know, too many, you got to cut some back. So what I do is, there's a whole list of sites, throughout the entire state. And I picked the Detroit simulcast because Detroit's linked with Holly, which is linked with Macomb, which is linked with Oakland. You know, so I go that on the left-hand side. I put all the, just the there's simulcast sites, and then there's actually a site. Where there's just one frequency in it, kind of thing. So if you have 10 and there's 4 in each, that's 40 sites. So you can only do, I only do the simulcast. And then the right hand side, I pick what I want to listen to, and then I can put it into a list, a scanner list. And this thing holds 10, 20, I think it's got 20 different lists that I can go off of, something like that. And then through there, then it just scans whatever's in that. Like right now, it says W50WRPD, which is 50, which is Macomb, and then WR is I think it's Warren.
Well, very cool. I'm gonna jump inside the gas station here. I just got gas. I'm gonna get something to drink. I'll be back in like 10 minutes. Not even. K-E-A-W-U-O.
K-E-A-K-J-O.
This is K-E-A-W-U-O. I am mobile. So you're pretty far north then. You got a long drive for every one of these meetings. So that's...
And so I got off of work, and then I was up there by like 6:15. You know, I try to start early on Thursdays, so meetings at the college, you know, on time kind of thing. And then, you know, I'm driving home.
Nice. Do you ever have a hard time figuring out which radio someone was just reaching out to you on when you have more than one out there on the dash? And it's can be a little tricky sometimes. Especially if the radio is in scan mode, it's like, maybe it was this radio, but what frequency were they on?
On my DMR, it's a very distinct sound, so I recognize that right away. When I'm on analog, it's a dual watch, so the left channel is usually VHF and the right channel is UHF. The right channel is usually on WAMAC, Macomb repeater VHF, and then on the right channel, it's usually FBI, and when it's, you know, FBI or Central Michigan, I got them all programmed in there, so I just flip, and I'm kind of used to the frequencies, so I know what's where.
Yeah, it does help that most of the people use, you know, the same frequency, so like you kind of expect to hear Sean on FBI occasionally on Mount Clemens, but yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. And then the VMR does, mine anyway, it does have a pretty telltale sign or chirp when it receives, especially when it transmits. I know I can turn it off, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, for being on the radio for like 30 years, I think I know how it's just a habit, I guess you could say, or something instilled in my brain to listen to keywords or key phrases. You know, because when I was in L.A., that's all I had was the county radio. And I'd be sitting there doing paperwork, and then all of a sudden I hear 168 Frank, and that was me. That was my call sign. That was my ID. So I'd hear that, pick up the mic, you know, 168 Frank, go ahead, and give me all the information, write it down, and then do what I got to do. That's why sometimes you hear me. I'm fast with my call sign and fast with clearing. But when I chat, you know, perfect example right here. But if not, you'll hear me just go short band and I'll just say KKK deal, and then you'll hear from me.
Yeah, I definitely need a new call sign because it's kind of hard to say my call sign fast. I just end up slurring my letters. KKKW is kind of a mouthful. It's not horrible, but I don't know, I would say like K-E-A-Y-N-U or, you know, like there's always a Y in there. And so I don't always get credit for checking in because they don't.
Kilo Web Light Whiskey Uniform Oscar. Eight. And then.
Oliver. You know, and then like there's many sort of call signs or else I would have. So now I want to go for access just so I can get that some ham top. And I don't want to do that gap between extra and not know how to do Morse code. So I want to
I didn't realize you had to learn Morse code to be an extra. I'm studying for my general.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think so. I thought they eliminated that part of testing. Because I definitely don't know Morse code.
Yeah, I definitely don't know Morse code either. I downloaded an app and started listening to it and trying to decipher some of it. You actually learn the word easier than learning the letter. And there's like Morse code trainers, and to get those and start to learn your call sign in Morse code so that you recognize that pattern. And then same thing with other people's call signs in your area, and just try to get used to that. And then there's also like the typical handshake of Morse code of, you know, just like the normal scripted conversation, and yeah, I guess Ron Messick, I think that I'm sure I'm saying his last name wrong, but he has a sheet that tells you like the letter A, and there's like a kind of like a phonetic word that sounds like A, and I guess that really is helpful. Or like, you know, like kangaroo is like the K or something because it sounds like dit, dit, dot, you know, or whatever, where you could kind of relate the way the dots sound to a word. And so then you kind of listen for the word in the dots, and that really helps. So I don't know. I think there are tricks to it, and I keep meaning to ask Ron. Just learning general alone was an undertaking. It's so hard to do that during the summer. I mean, I don't even bother trying to learn ham radio. Whatever it is. K-E-A-W-U-O.
I should still be hitting them off Clemens Tower. Maybe you can still hear me. It's getting a little choppy here and there, but I can still understand you. There's a couple little breaks in the data, but not too bad. Where am I at? Richmond Township. So I'm almost home, thank goodness. My wife's going to kill me.
Yeah, I'm surprised this DMR is doing as well as it is, because I'm over here in Warren now, just arriving. I'm basically on my street, and for this to reach Mount Clemens from here with an HG, it's doing pretty good, so I can't complain.
Told you that IP Connect is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you were definitely right about that. I'm just kind of, you know, this is really the first time I've used this radio outside of the Dream Cruise, and I'm just noticing it's showing me, like, bars, like, I can see how well I'm receiving, and that's kind of interesting. So that's pretty cool. This radio is turning out to be pretty cool, especially the IP Connect, like you said.
Yeah, mine does the same thing. I'm watching this little bar go across the screen. I know it's RSSI, so I guess it's seeing my audio level and it's seeing my transmit level. So it's a good thing. Like I said, DMR is digital, so it's all bits and bytes and packets.
Yeah, so far so cool, so good. I'm up in my driveway. I'll be right back. All right, I am home and got some happy doggos looking out the window at me.
I'm here in Memphis, so I'm in the northern part of County now. So I will call you.
All righty, well, you have a good one, sir. And thanks for the nice little QSO on the way home and riding home with me. This is KE8WUO73.
KWUO, 73, have a good night. KCKJ, hope.